the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Veronica Gordon. Veronica is a second-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2024, and she and I recently connected to talk more about her background, her decision to pursue an MBA, her experience in the Executive MBA program, as well as her work planning a Black Trailblazers alumni panel to coincide with this year's Black Alumni Weekend. A quick note, if this conversation is helpful to you, please like this episode and subscribe to the Exec MBA podcast so you never miss an update. And remember, you can always check the episode description for links to Darden blogs, social channels, and more resources for tips, insights, and stories about the Darden experience. So now, without further ado, here is my interview with Veronica Gordon. Veronica, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Brett. I'm excited to be on the podcast.
Well, it's great to have you here. How are you doing?
Well, I am looking forward to graduation that's right around the corner and very excited to the kind of the grand finality of it all.
Yeah, you are in your final quarter of the Executive MBA program. How does that feel?
It's been an amazing journey. I've really enjoyed every class that I've had the opportunity to take. And it feels great to see it kind of coming to an end.
What classes are you planning to take here in quarter 10?
So I'm taking a total of 3 classes and 1 independent study. The first class is Transforming Societies with the Warnocks. I'm also taking Real Estate, Finance, and Development with Tony Smith. And I'm also taking Starting New Ventures with Sarahs.
All right. Then you have a week-long residency in Charlottesville to close things out. LR2, Leadership Residency 2. Are you looking forward to being back in Charlottesville?
I am. I'm looking forward to going back to the Goodwin grounds and being a part of that final week.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about you, Veronica. Now, tell us who you are. Who are you? What's your background?
Well, I am a 14-year federal civil servant professional. I'm married. I have 1 child. And I'm also a first-generation college student with a passion for learning. And my time with Darden will mark my 3rd UVA degree.
All right. So obviously undergrad and then a master's. What did you get your master's in?
My first master's was through the School of Education, and it was a Master's of Education in the Social Foundations Educational Leadership and Policy Program.
All right, and now an MBA, so a triple hoop, as they are known. How did you decide you wanted to pursue an MBA?
Well, I developed a new interest to extend my education during COVID and after the loss of a close loved one. I sought an MBA to clarify my life's purpose and to maximize on the impact I hope to make.
And I assume the UVA connection is what put Darden on your radar, but what led you to Darden?
Yes. Well, first, you may have noticed I do have a love for UVA. The school has an undisputed reputation for excellence. And at the time, there was a lot of marketing for the new Darden part-time program, which piqued my curiosity. After attending several Darden information sessions, I fell in love with the program and decided to apply.
All right. What was it about, though, the Executive MBA program that ultimately resonated with you?
The Executive MBA format fit my life. It allowed me to balance my full-time career and family responsibilities with the pursuit of an MBA at an amazing school with a reputable course offering for all professional types and industries.
So the Executive MBA program, as our listeners know, is a working professional program. Students are doing school in addition to everything else they have going on in their very full lives. How did you think about the schedule, the time commitment? You mentioned that it was a great fit for you, but what made it a great fit for you?
Well, first, I had to have a conversation with my husband. He understood that he would have to take on more responsibilities in support of my pursuit. And because he was willing to do that, I am forever thankful and indebted to him for taking on a lot more in our home and with our family as I went after this endeavor. So that was a huge part of it. My employer was also allowing me flexibilities at work, which made it so that I could attend the on-grounds residency once a month from Friday through Sunday. So it's been a bit of a village, and I'm thankful that all of those parts came into focus and allowed me to be where I am today.
Those conversations are conversations every executive MBA student has to have, you know, people at home, people at work. What was your approach? How did you prepare for those conversations?
Well, Darden made it easy. They gave us a calendar for the whole program. So we knew every Friday that we would be away. We knew when the global residencies would take place. So it made it easier for me to use my calendar app for my husband to put all the dates on the calendar. It made it easy for me to send a request to my manager as well as to my team so that they knew what my availability would be and when I would be out of the office. And I also had a form that Darden had me share with my employer, which gave permission for me to have their support as I pursued my degree. And they have maintained that support, and I'm very thankful.
Yeah, we have some resources on our website for listeners who are curious. In the FAQ section, you'll find a company support letter example, as well as some guidance about what that letter says. It is a requirement for all of our working professional MBA students, part-time MBA and executive MBA, that you have this signed letter from your manager, whoever authorizes your time, acknowledging the time commitments to the program, giving you the time necessary to participate in the program. It's an important conversation. You know, we ask for that letter just to ensure that you have had that conversation, that your manager understands what you're embarking upon here, the nature of the commitment, so that you can be fully present and engaged as a student. So, Veronica, you come to the program. You're a brand new MBA student. You mentioned you had previously done a graduate degree, but you're now at Darden in the executive MBA program. What was that adjustment like?
Well, I think it can be very intimidating to be with so many amazing people from, you know, various professions, from attorneys, doctors, engineers, teachers, consultants, and everybody is amazing. So coming into a space like that can be a bit intimidating, but I think it helps to build confidence and to be reminded that you too were selected to be a part of the program and to, you know, face those fears and move forward with courage. And it turns out to be amazing. I've thoroughly enjoyed meeting so many different people from so many different backgrounds, having conversations that I may not have had otherwise, having the opportunity to look at life and experiences differently through the lens that they offer. All of that has been amazing. And I'm thankful that I've had this opportunity.
One of the realities of the program is that students learn through the case method here at Darden. Was that new to you? Had you ever had a case method class?
I know that in the School of Business at UVA, the McIntyre School, that they also use the case method. I was not familiar with the case method, so this was a new experience for me. I love the idea of how professors, they ask these questions, they bring the case material to life for students, and while also keeping us all on our toes as we may be randomly called on to answer a question. That has been something that I have grown to appreciate and enjoy, especially when I hear from classmates with those expertise on specific case topics. It really enriches the conversation and helps the learning experience.
Folks who are less familiar with this learning approach, how do you describe the case method? How do you explain it to them?
Again, I believe that it's an opportunity to really understand the material in a way that you wouldn't have otherwise. The way you prepare for the cold calls and the way that you, ensure that you practice with your learning team, if that is something that you do, helps to prepare you for the classroom. And it helps you to digest the material in ways that you may not otherwise. So I do believe that the case method is something that has helped to enrich my learning experience and that of my classmates.
So curious about your schedule. So you mentioned the adjustment being in an MBA program, obviously a new learning experience, new content, for as it is for the case for many of our students. What kind of approach did you take in terms of schedule, managing your time? How did you, you know, get ready for class? When were you doing your work? That sort of thing.
So for me, I often use the weekends to really prepare and get ready. Prior to the on-grounds residency, which is once a month, we have a week with no classes that allow us to use that time to prepare as well. So those were opportunities, again, to utilize my calendar and to make sure that I was setting aside the appropriate time to read the materials, to do any exercises that were required, and to make the most out of prep time to be ready for the potential cold calls that we would experience in class.
Yeah, the cold call being when you get called on by the faculty member, even if you didn't raise your hand, that does
correct.
Happen.
It does.
It does happen. So I'm curious, you mentioned that you studied on the weekends primarily. That was the time when you were really getting ready. And I appreciate your point about in advance of the weekend residencies. There's no online class, so students can really focus on getting ready for the weekend residency, because weekend residency, you probably have somewhere in the neighborhood of 12, 13 class sessions over the course of Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the typical Darden math is one case per class. So probably have 12 to 13 cases to prepare. So a lot to get done to get ready for that weekend residency.
Yes, that is exactly what it looks like. And but yes, for some people who love to learn, and it's a great opportunity to really put those skills to use.
Did you find that over the course of the program, obviously you're here in the final quarter now, almost 20 months or so in to the program, did you find that you got better or faster as you read cases from where you started in the program, maybe to where you are now?
You definitely learn what to look for, and you also learn the professor and what their focus is. So, yes, part of that is definitely a growth over time. And, you know, when we have the core classes from Q1 to Q6, you're really building that foundation that help to position you for success when it comes to elective time, which begins in Q7. And that's another opportunity to utilize, you know, those skills and to continue to build that muscle until graduation.
Yeah, appreciate that note there. The Executive MBA program is 21 months in duration. The first 6 quarters or 12 months, essentially first year of the program, or core curriculum, and then you enter Q7, it's Q7, 8, 9, and 10. Those last 8 months are electives. So, and if you're wondering, you move through this program in 2-month quarters. So every couple of months, you're getting new classes as an Executive MBA student. So students typically take in this program 3 classes at a time as they go from quarter to quarter. To harken back to Veronica's note about she's taking 3 electives plus an independent study in this final quarter. So, here you are, Veronica, you're now in the second year of the program. You're taking electives, you're picking your classes. How are things going?
Well, again, I have a love for learning, so I am thoroughly enjoying every minute and every opportunity to get as much as I can from the professors and the time we have left. I've really enjoyed it, continue to enjoy it. I'm also part of the Darden Executive Fund, and that's an opportunity to put some of those core classes involving finance into practice with stock selections and doing the DCF method for, you know, determining whether a stock is a good investment or not. So those are all skills that I get to exercise and utilize during these final weeks.
All right, little translation for our non-MBA listeners. DCF stands for?
So the DCF stands for the discounted cash flow. And it's a means for understanding, comparing different stocks and whether they would be a good investment or whether to buy, sell, or hold. And there's a lot that goes into that calculation, as well as other factors when evaluating stocks. So we get a chance to practice doing that work in this club, and we get feedback from Rodney Sullivan, who is a faculty, Darden faculty, who advises the students. It formerly was an independent study and now an actual course. So technically I'm taking 5 classes in my last term. But yes, it's a great club and a way to stretch your core class learning and experience.
Are you surprised that you got involved with the Darden Executive Fund? Did you think that was something that you were going to seek out during your executive MBA experience?
I really wanted to stretch myself in ways that I wouldn't have in other places. Being that I am in the federal government, that's not something that I get to do. Some of my counterparts are in jobs that, you know, may be more involved with this type of work. So I wanted to, again, step out and do something new and different. And this was a way for me to do that.
That's a common theme here on the podcast. A lot of executive MBA students, particularly when they get to the second year of the program and start choosing electives, you start to hear this idea around stretching, really challenging themselves in ways that perhaps they're not going to be challenged in their day to day, or in ways that really sort of maybe address areas that they may think are maybe not strengths for them just yet, but can become strengths over time. That comes up quite a bit here on the podcast.
Yes, absolutely. And I actually have a pitch coming up in about a week. So I'm preparing for that using a tool that the club makes available to all students who are learning about stocks. And so that presentation will encompass all of my learning, and hopefully my counter board members will vote for my stock pitch and what I recommend. So yes, I'm looking forward to that.
How much work goes into preparing a stock pitch? Just curious.
Oh man, it's quite a bit. The tool that we use is called FactSet. And the FactSet tool allows you to evaluate a company, understand the various finance aspects of the company, as well as other qualitative aspects from news articles to different calculations that other advisors or experts in the field may recommend. And we have to do our own calculation using the WAC. That is part of us helping to get a firm foundation and understanding of how all the different parts that we learn throughout the program are utilized in a practical and real way to make a decision about whether we and our fund will buy a stock, hold it, or sell it. And our the Darden Executive Fund, which is with the executive MBA students, we've seen growth in our stocks. And the residential program, they have their own fund. And so it's kind of an opportunity to have real money, but kind of play and development through the club.
And just for folks who are less familiar with some of these finance terms, WAC, that Veronica mentioned, is weighted average cost of capital, just in case you were curious. All right. Veronica, you've also been involved with the Black Professional MBA Student Organization. I know that's been something that's been a point of engagement for you as well. You want to tell us a little bit more about that club and organization, how you've been involved?
Sure. Mike Shipp is our Darden Black Professional MBA Club President. And Linda Hartman is the vice president for this club. And I shared with Mike early on about an idea that I wanted to bring to life. And he's provided me with that opportunity. He appointed me as the alumni engagement officer for the club. And with that, I have worked on a big event that's scheduled for April 22nd from 5 to 6 p.m. in Charlottesville at the Forum Hotel, called Darden's First Black Trailblazers, Looking Back, Moving Forward, and Staying Connected. My classmate, Carter Whitelow, will facilitate a panel discussion with six Darden Black alumni, including Lemuel Lewis, who was one of Darden's first Black student graduates from the class of 1972. Other panelists include two former UVA Board of Visitors members, Warren Thompson and Sid Dorsey, golfing CEO and business owner Jandy Turner, and business executives Bill Cooper and Arika Allen. Collectively, the panel represents 47 years of Black students graduating from Darden, moving on to impactful careers, and choosing to give back to Darden and the university.
How do you even get started with something like that? How do you determine the alumni you want to reach out to who would be a good panelist?
Well, I have to admit that, again, when I got my undergraduate degree, I, you know, as a first generation, everything was new and exciting to me. And so at the time, Sid Dorsey was actually a Board of Visitors member, and I had sought her out and met with her and chatted with her and talked with her. And Bill Cooper was someone I'd also met at UVA when he was there in another capacity on the executive leadership. And so I, you know, at the time I had no sense of that I would be going to Darden, but I admired these people and I wanted to learn more about their stories. And it was those types of conversations that helped to, you know, inspire me to do something like this. Warren Thompson, I actually had an opportunity. I knew about him. I had gone to Virginia State and knew that his company did their food and hospitality activities there. And then last year during a alumni weekend for Darden, they have class reunions, and it happened to be Warren Thompson's class reunion year. And that's where I met both Warren Thompson and Jandy Turner. And I had the opportunity to hear them speak at a Black and Brown Excellence event that was being held. And I was just inspired by the words that they shared, how they got into entrepreneurship and decided to move forward with, you know, looking into doing or at least wanting to do something like this. I shared the idea. Mike said, why not make it happen? And that's what I did. And I'm excited to have the leadership support. Yael, Dean Beardsley is likely to participate, and others who really want to honor these you know, members and what it represents, and also to be reminded that giving back is important as alumni when we graduate, and helping to see the full circle of, you know, coming into the program, but also remembering that we want to pave the way for others to come after us and to position them all for success.
How long did it take to get everything together before the panel?
Oh, my goodness. So I have actually been working on this program probably since November of last year. So it's taken some time, but it's really picked up the momentum in the last, I guess I would say the last month. So I'm excited again to see the marketing happening, other students seeing the vision and wanting to support it, those in the community, you know, wanting to attend the event. So very excited and look forward to seeing how it all comes together.
This event coincides with Black Alumni Weekend at UVA. And I also think it lines up with LR2 for your class.
That is correct. And that was intentional. So Black Alumni Weekend will begin on April the 18th. We actually have another event that Carter T. Whitelow will host. It's a Darden golfing event that is a big deal. This is not something that they typically have during Black Alumni Weekend, which is for all of UVA's Black alumni from all the various schools. And so Carter putting this event together is something that will add to the different options that students have for participation. And then there are several other events hosted on grounds and through Alumni Hall in support of Black alumni. And this event takes place, I believe it starts on April 18th. It'll officially end on Sunday, April the 21st. And it happens every 2 years at UVA. Our panel, Darden's First Black Trailblazers, Looking Back, Moving Forward, and Staying Connected, is something that I did ask to take place during our LR2 week to, you know, culminate all that we are doing. Again, like the promotion of alumni giving and being reminded of different segments of our community and population and the contributions they've made to enrich the experiences for everyone who is a part of Darden and the university.
Veronica, obviously it's an incredible set of panelists. What's your hope for the event? I know Carter is moderating it, put a lot of time and effort into this. What do you hope attendees take away from this event?
Well, again, this is my third UVA degree. And one thing that I hope that people take away is to recognize the progress that we as a university, as Darden, as a community have made. And hopefully it will inspire people to continue to see each other as a community and to remember the importance of giving back to the university. And celebrating everyone who makes up the university. Currently, there is no documented Black history for Darden. And that is part of my independent study that I'm actually doing with Professor Laura Morgan Roberts, who is my faculty advisor, who did a similar project with documenting the history for Harvard. So I'm excited to be working under her, and not that I will complete it, because I believe it took her 3 years for her project, but to begin and to create a roadmap for those who may continue this work well after I'm gone. I believe it's important and it's worthy of celebration, and it may pave the way for others from different backgrounds, from different diverse experiences to come to Darden and to the university as a whole. So I just think it's an untold story that is amazing and that we should capture and celebrate.
How did you seize upon this as your idea for your independent study?
Well, again, I noticed that there wasn't documented history. And as a first generation student who formerly worked in the admissions office, UVA's undergraduate admissions office under Jack Blackburn, I began to read about UVA's history and the impact that people who took a different stance, they didn't go with just the way things exist, and they decided to make room for change, for diversity in all its, you know, wonderful fashions, from, you know, students across the state instead of just one part of the state, to students of color, to women, to people from, you know, literally all over the country and then all over the world. There's a lot to be celebrated. And I think that this is an opportunity to do that and to be reminded, again, as a first generation, how did I get here? Who made room for me to be a part of this community? And it's something that I'm very proud of. And it's something that, you know, it's okay to look back and to reflect on progress and success and all that, you know, that we've accomplished over time.
Well, I wonder, Veronica, that's an incredible story about the panel and the work that you've put into making it happen. Really looking forward to that. I'm hopeful I can be in Charlottesville for LR2. I got to be there last year with the second year class, the executive MBA program. I'm hopeful I'll be able to make a return trip and join for that panel myself, because I know it'll be great. Is there anything else that you're looking forward to in the coming months?
Well, I mean, I believe it'll be a bit of a bittersweet moment. You know, you build relationships and connections with people, and, you know, you get used to coming together once a month or, you know, for different activities and traveling together with global residencies. I believe I'll miss that, and I'm hoping that I can still stay connected with those who make up my cohort, that make up my program, well beyond this time. So just enjoying these final weeks and enjoying those opportunities to engage with them in these unique spaces while we're students, and just continuing to support the university in this way.
You mentioned global residencies. So where did you go on your global residency?
Oh, that would have to be one of my favorite memories also. So I have to definitely talk about my global residency to Melbourne and Sydney, Australia, with faculty sponsor Shane DeCauley. That was an amazing time.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the global residency? Because we get a lot of questions about what happens on.
Sure. We visited lots of amazing organizations and companies throughout a week away. I recall being on a plane for about 21 hours traveling to Australia and then the same coming back. So it is a bit exhausting and in a different time zone. I think we were about 14 hours ahead of the United States, but the time is just phenomenal. If I had to highlight one of my favorite times during the trip, it's when we had the chance to speak with the Clontarf Foundation. A company sponsor shared the commitment that this organization had to increase the high school graduation rate for Aboriginal boys. And that same day, we had an invitation to attend an event to speak with some of the youth from this program. And I got to chat with Clarden, Cooper, Dylan, and Marcus. And I have to tell you, these four young men, they shared how the program, you know, was helping them to work towards their personal and long-term career goals. They talked about the impact it had on family members who graduated prior and the difference it would make for them in their lives. And I was very inspired by their stories, their determination, and the drive that they shared. And again, we visited amazing places, but I will forever remember those four young men and the stories they shared. And I hope to see what they do in their futures because they seem very bright and rich based on those interactions.
Well, what's been the impact of the program for you, Veronica, when you look back on these 20-ish months or so?
Well, I have to say that I believe that I've received the very best education possible, and I feel equipped to make the impact I hope for, and I have the knowledge and insights to turn my ideas into action. And it's also amazing to be a part of a larger community that has a reputation for doing all of those things. I'm thankful to be a part of Darden.
Last question for you here. What's a piece of advice you would share with our prospective student listeners, something you would encourage them to think about as they go forth on their own MBA journeys?
Well, Darden is an amazing place with amazing people. There are three key things. Make the most out of your Darden resources, including the Batten Institute, club opportunities, career services, the rich conversations with professors, staff, alumni, and fellow classmates. And secondly, lean on your family for support and remember that they too make real sacrifices for you to pursue your MBA. So let them know how much you appreciate them for supporting you. And lastly, enjoy every moment of learning, connecting, and growing, because it goes by really fast.
It is a common refrain here on the podcast when people are at this point and reflecting on their experience in the program. They're always amazed by how quickly it went from LR1 to where they are right now. And where did the time go? It seems like it might take forever when you get started. And then all of a sudden, you're in your final quarter, LR2 on the way, and graduation right behind it.
Yes, that is definitely definitely been the case for me, but I it's all amazing. I've enjoyed every last bit of it. And again, forever grateful and thankful for the opportunity.
Well, Veronica, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and best of luck with the panel. I'm so excited about that and look forward to hearing more about it.
Thank you for this time, Brett. Greatly appreciate it.
And that was my interview with Veronica Gore, a second-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2024. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. You can reach that exec, that's exec@darden.virginia.edu. Till next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.